Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Podcasting.
Hey.
Some people do it for fun. Others out of a feeling like a necessity because everybody and their mother has a podcast and their dog for that fact. But no, we've been here for a while. Tell them, Max.
This is the Mother Dog Podcast Review.
Pugcast.
The Pubcast.
Where we look at pugs and say, ooh, look at them eyes.
Only in bars because it's the Pug Pubcast.
The Pug Pub G Pub Cast.
Oh, okay. PUBG.
Yeah, we play that in there, too.
That's right. Yeah, the dogs play PUBG.
They do. They're really good. They beat up on kids in other time zones.
That's right. Player Unknown Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. For all you fork knifers out there. thank your lucky stars, because without that, you wouldn't have any fork knife.
That's right.
Damn fork knives.
Just be spoons for you.
That's right. Flossing. Weirdos.
Weirdos. Weirdos.
Movies.
I have such an urge to floss right now.
Do you?
I do.
Your teeth look fine.
Well, thanks, bud.
You're welcome.
Well, I got movies.
Movies.
I heard our code word. Movies.
Movies.
Get it back on track.
Movies.
I got two. You got two.
Yeah.
I end bad.
Okay.
I start fine. So however you want it to go.
They clone Tyrone.
Oh, no. They clone Tyrone.
So behind the scenes, I've been saying this for like the past hour.
That's true.
Because the sheet is in front of me and I keep just exclaiming they clone Tyrone. 2023, I watched it on August 5th of 2023. It is 2 hours and 2 minutes long. It is a sci-fi mystery film directed by Jewel Taylor, starring John Boyega, Jamie Foxx. I lost my place because I looked at and addressed the camera. Jamie Foxx. There it is. Tamina Paris. Hi, Tamina. Looking at you, girl.
Dang.
Movie summary. A series of eerie events thrust an unlikely trio onto the trail of a nefarious government conspiracy in this pulpy mystery caper. Looking at you, girl. Looking at you, everybody. Yeah, so this movie is like, I saw the trailer for it. It's a Netflix movie.
I've seen this trailer. I've not seen the movie.
Yeah, the trailer gave me pause. I'm like, what is this? Is this like a blaxploitation, like noir movie? Like, what is going on here? I'm into it. Like, just Jamie Foxx's facial hair alone. I was like,
sure.
We're in for this. So I watched it, not sure what the hell to expect here. And I'd say my biggest criticism with the movie is I'm not 100% sure this film exactly knows what it wants to be either.
Okay.
It's kind of all the things I mentioned. It has a very poignant theme, obviously.
Gotta clone Tyrone.
It totally makes sense. It just feels like they were kind of like trying to make their point at the cost of some cohesion and entertainment value in the movie. Like, kind of the times it was trying to broadcast the message it was trying to convey was the times I think the movie was some of the hardest to watch. Like, it was just like, this isn't like that exciting, or like, this is a bit of a letdown. I went in this direction because that was kind of what I was hoping it would avoid. Mm. So it was like, I wasn't really sure, and it set itself up to be so weird and intriguing, but instead it had a very strong and poignant message, but just kind of like was willing to sacrifice what could have been perhaps a little bit more entertainment value to make sure that it put out a message. And it's not a message that, and I don't want to ruin it by kind of letting you all know, but it's fairly obvious when you watch it.
Okay.
But I wasn't expecting it to be such a strong, like that was such a strong, obviously kind of force for the movie to happen. It's just like, no, we need to get here so we can make this point and really just keep driving it home. And it's like, okay, I got it though. Like the first time I got where you're still going.
Huh?
It just kind of beat me over the head a little bit too hard, and I think that it lost a couple of cool points for. And it has a ton of cool points. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is a bad movie by any stretch.
Multiple Tyrones.
It's really cool. I think the main cast really blows it out of the water. I think that it's a smart movie. I think it's kind of a compliment. The criticism is a compliment in that I was so ready for even more than I got that I felt a little bit let down, just because they seem to go so heavy at trying to lean on the theme as opposed to the actual plot and film elements.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm trying to say. But nice. Really awesome movie. You'll have a ton of fun watching it.
Huh.
IMDb gives it a 6.6 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 126 critics give it 94%.
Oh, wow.
The audience, there's less than 50. So it gets a fake 100%.
Okay.
Not real.
Probably not.
They cloned 10. I give it a 7.5 out of 10.
I had no idea where your number was going to land. I had no idea. I really couldn't.
It's a solid movie. The set design's great. Soundtrack's a lot of fun. The stories suffers at points because they were trying so hard to make sure that they made the point that the movie was trying to. And they wanted to make sure that the people all the way in the back, all the way in the balcony, were getting what they were putting down, I think to the movie's detriment.
Those guys are Muppets.
It's a good idea. And these things are worth echoing. And sadly, these are themes in movies that were coming out in the 70s, right? Like Rudy Ray Moore was making these points with these movies and trying to do it in a positive way where these... this movie's shining a light directly on the problem and kind of calling out. It's pretty sad that 50-some years later, we're still having to make the same damn point. So it's frustrating, and I totally understand their tone and their point of view here.
Right.
And, it totally makes sense why they'd want to do this, and I understand why people would want this to continue to happen. It kind of makes me sad that it did, and that it has to eat up, so much of what could have been, I think, a slightly better movie for it.
Dang.
Yeah, but a good movie, nonetheless.
Maybe they'll clone Tyrone again.
I hope so. They clone Tyrone again. That'd be a great
again.
Title.
Again. Yeah. You can have that one, Jamie Foxx.
There you go.
You can have it.
Take it, Django.
For you.
Take it.
It's for you. Well, I got a movie.
Ooh.
And Max, I sure do love my wrestling.
You do.
But it's spooky time when we're recording this. I'm dating it again. I don't care.
Oh, my goodness.
Spooky time.
The curtain's been revealed.
Spooky time.
Pay no attention to the Tim behind the curtain.
It's spooky time, so I've done a documentary about a spooky wrestler for you.
Spooky wrestler?
Yes. Do you know a lot of spooky wrestlers?
I know one recently passed away, unfortunately.
That's true. That's
We're recent to this recording.
That is true.
But yeah, Papa Shango, sure is a spooky wrestler.
Papa Shango, great.
The Undertaker, yep. Mankind.
Yep, none of those.
Kane?
No.
I'm out of spooky wrestlers.
All right, well, I watched 2020's Nail in the Coffin, The Fall... and Rise of Vampiro.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember Vampiro?
Vaguely.
All right. Tall Canadian vampire.
Okay.
Who predominantly wrestled in Mexico.
Yep. I know the look, but don't know because of the Mexico.
Very misfitty kind of look. Yep. So I watched this on the 10th of August, 2023. It's an hour 28. Ooh. Documentary, biography, sport.
Sport.
Directed by Michael Past, I'm going to say. Starring Ian Hodgkinson, Vampiro. Charles Ozenhoff,
Vampiro.
Conan. And Christopher DeJoseph. That's his real name. Your IMDb movie summary. A rare glimpse into the legendary career of wrestling icon Vampiro as he grapples with his demons and life after fame. Straight from one of wrestling's most outspoken characters, this is a candid look beyond the ring.
It feels like that they wrote this, that little write-up there.
It does feel kind of like
a little bit
that.
Of polish on there.
It's well polished.
Well polished.
Vampiro's an interesting character. He was big in America anyways in the WCW end times. Mm-hmm. He was brought in because he did have a huge feud with Conan, and Conan was like the Hulk Hogan of Mexico.
Yes.
So he brought up Vampiro, and Vampiro did not click with everybody. They're like, I don't get the big deal. Your Kevin Nashes and your Scott Halls don't care about Vampiro, and your Jeff Jarrett's and all these people that are
Jeff
dinosaurs over here.
Yeah.
They didn't want to really share that spotlight. And I don't blame them because they're making all the monies.
Yeah.
But Vampiro is older now. He's like 50-ish, which is old for wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And he's very beat up after many years because he started very young. Trained in Canada. Very cool story. But now this is focusing on him as a single parent raising his daughter. His daughter is a teenage girl who's, I think, about to go to college. So older. Just their dynamic. And it's very interesting. There's a lot of talking with her, which I thought was great.
Mm.
Where she's just like, I really didn't know my dad, but I knew he was doing this for us. And I go back and I watch all these crazy things. He did because he did many death matches, weird kinds of matches.
Okay.
They would come up with some crazy matches down in Mexico that would not get greenlit here in the States.
Sounds right.
Nowadays, he is one of the people who help AAA, the biggest promotion in Mexico, which is their WWE, for lack of a better term. And he is a big producer for them, essentially.
Oh, cool.
So it's all kind of come full circle, but he is struggling with his demons, everything that he dealt with in the past, the sex, drugs, rock and roll kind of mentality. But now he's just trying to be on normal pain medicine and just live like a normal guy and try to do things the right way and be a good positive influence. There is so much footage of him throughout the years. They took video of him throughout the year so much that makes this a very enjoyable documentary.
Nice.
You know, where like they'll interview his daughter and then they'll go to a scene of her like when she's like six or something and he's trying to play with her on the playground, but people won't leave him alone because he's Vampiro and people want the signature. And it talks about how he wants to help her, but he has to keep flying to Mexico all the time. They live up in Canada again.
Right.
There's a lot of really cool, just basic family dynamic. I'm glad they focused on that because we can look up Vampiro. We can go back and watch all the matches, and you should. A lot of them are very good.
Nice.
Very important to wrestling. But and then it also focuses on he can't stop wrestling. He should have stopped a while ago. He's going to get paralyzed at some point.
Right.
He cannot stop. He always ends up taking one more match.
Sure.
And, you know, it's what good is that if at the end of the day you're not walking away?
Yeah, so, right.
It is quite unfortunate.
Indeed.
So, very cool documentary. I think everybody, if you remotely enjoy that, you should check it out. It is a lot of the wrestling side, so, you know, I guess the stuff with the daughter is a little less than maybe an average casual fan would like. But if you remotely like the sport, you'll enjoy it a
nice.
Lot.
Very cool.
So IMDb gave it a 7.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomato critics, 15 of them.
Okay.
100%.
Uh-oh.
Questionable 100%.
Questionable.
At least it's 15.
Yeah.
The audience, 67%, less than 50 people.
Uh-oh. Fake.
The wife watched this with me.
Nice.
So the wife, knowing nothing of Vampiro, what would you guess her score would be?
Ooh. Yeah, that's go a with fun a one. Sounds like... Go with a 6 out of 10.
You're correct.
Yes.
But what do you think mine would be then?
I would say you'd probably go with a 7.0.
In 8 out of 10.
Wow.
The big winner for me that puts it higher over other documentaries, especially, is nothing to do with the wrestling. The fact that there is so much footage that they dug through and they really, like, he'll talk about some moment that you think's not important and they'll have footage of it.
That's cool.
So it is just really stacked.
Nice. Yep. Love that.
Yeah.
I have a movie that is not a documentary.
Okay, that's good.
It is 2016-31.
Hot Hike?
Yes. It is the movie 31.
Oh.
It came out in 2016.
Oh.
I watched date 723.
Oh, man.
1 hour, 42 minutes.
This feels like a conspiracy theory.
Right? It's a horror thriller.
Oh.
Directed by the Rob Zombie.
Oh, the Rob Zombie.
The Rob Zombie. So you know it's starring the Sherry Moon Zombie. Because yes. That's how that works.
Is Robert Q. Zombie himself in it?
No, he's not.
Okay.
Jeff Daniel Phillips is, as is They Live's Meg Foster.
Hey, that's fun.
Yeah, very cool.
Good job, Rob Zombie.
Yeah. Your summary for this one is 5 carnival workers are kidnapped and held hostage in an abandoned hellish compound where they're forced to participate in a violent game, the goal of which is to survive 12 hours against a gang of sadistic clowns.
So it's a sport as well.
It's basically Rob Zombie does the most dangerous game.
Okay.
So the big problem with this movie, and I know this was like a pretty like compelling like back and forth, like there's a lot of tension here on whether it was like a fine Rob Zombie entry or, you know, I mean, kind of crap.
He's polarizing in that respect.
He is very polarizing.
Because he truly loves horror a lot.
He does.
And he falls into the pitfall of like, oh, well, you're not really homaging as much as copying like you thought.
He definitely has a style unto himself. So you just take it, run it through the Rob Zombie filter, and then you spit this out. So the movie, the problem I have with the movie is part of the reason The Most Dangerous Game is a compelling short story is because you garner sympathy for the main character, right? Like kind of changes their ways and realizes the error of their ways through the movie. This movie gives you carnival workers that you really can't, like, they're not bad people, but they're definitely not great people either. Not that anybody really truly is, but it's hard to connect with them in any meaningful way. So it's really difficult to feel the stakes as this kind of thing happens.
That makes perfect sense.
It definitely is a tough, it's set back in like probably I would guess the 70s.
Okay.
And it's just like weird for the sake of weird a little too much. Like it's just like, all right, so it's the most dangerous game. What would be the craziest stuff that I could throw in there? And it's like, it's three seeming like siblings that are throwing on this like survival game. They don't really watch it because it's the 70s. They just get reports of what's happening and they're like making absurd bets about who will survive and who won't. And there's like odds ascribed to everyone surviving. And it's like really weird, but they're dressed up in like powdered wigs.
Okay.
And like this weird, very like old time British kind of makeup with like, you know what I mean? Like the little lip paint and everything, the big Victorian dresses. And it's like this pompous kind of thing that they're, and it's like, I don't understand why that is. And then like one of the killers is a midget who's supposed to be Adolf Hitler. And it's like literally like, it's just, you look at the screen, you do that. And then you watch these people who try to survive together, but you can't connect with because they're just so weird and out there. And it's just like you try to like connect with them despite, you know what I mean, how odd they are. And it's just like it asks so much of the audience, and it doesn't ask like important big questions. It doesn't ask you to go with them on this journey. It doesn't provide you with a reason or a theme. It's just like, wouldn't this be fucked up? And it's just like, I don't. It's like so different from They Clone Tyrone.
That's interesting. Like all it would take was be like, oh, somebody looks at a picture in their wallet. Oh, my son or something. Not like, when I survive this, I'm back on the Tilt-A-Whirl tomorrow.
Like, yeah, humanize them to an extent. Like it just doesn't care to do that. It's just like, no, this is who I'm presenting you with. And it's just like, okay, but why do I care?
Right.
Like They Clone Tyrone goes so far to make sure you understand why this movie exists and what it's trying to accomplish. And 31 couldn't be more the opposite. Where it's just like, were they like, hey, Rob Zombie, here's some money, do whatever you want. And you're just like, I want to do this crazy shit that makes no sense and I don't really care.
Maybe.
It's weird. But Richard Brake is in it and he is like the kind of like the most dangerous of the killers, and he's awesome in this movie.
Okay.
He's so disturbing and gross and weird. Like, it just was, and you see him first in the movie, and you see him kill somebody is how the movie starts, and you're just like, what is going to happen? And it's such a letdown.
Oh.
Yeah, really, it's just, he's awesome. The rest of the movie is, like, fine, but I'd say it doesn't do enough really well that it's going to have you cut. Like, I have no interest in ever watching this movie again.
That's a
but
shame.
I'm not sad that I watched it either. I wasn't confused by it. It didn't really do a lot. I was just kind of like, okay.
It occupied space and time.
Yeah, exactly. It just was like, okay, it's an hour and 42 minutes long. Shrug. And that's kind of, I think, one of the worst things. I have no strong feelings for it other than I can kind of understand why it didn't work for me, but can't quite understand why it got me. Like, what compelled Rob Zombie to want to do this? You know what I mean? To tie up so much time and effort and resources to do this film. Like, I just don't understand. It's like, what's the draw here? What's the exact interest? It's an old story we're all used to. Just put through the Rob Zombie filter. Is that really what you wanted to do? Like, it just felt like kind of like a, like, hey, here's some money. It's like, okay, I'll just do a payday. Here's all my cool Rob Zombie shit.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, get in the back of the Dracula, I guess.
Get in the back of the Dracula.
IMDb gives this a 5.1 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 48 critics, 46%. Audience, 2,500 plus.
Okay.
Give it 35%.
Ooh.
And I am coming in, I think, just a touch higher than everybody at a 5.5 out of 10. It's definitely not awful, but is super forgettable.
Yeah, everything you said sounds like a 5.5.
Yeah, it's just forgettable. Nothing failing, just nothing succeeding, really.
Nothing winning.
Yeah, certainly not me.
No. Well, Max, I'm going to close this out.
Please.
With an eh.
I'm following the eh train, huh?
Yeah. Well, okay. You know, I bet you didn't think there could be a theme between my two movies.
I did not. Is it wrestling?
It isn't wrestling. Do you want to know what it is?
Documentary?
Canadian Vampires.
Oh, that was my next guess.
Yes. I literally Googled movies from Canada about vampires to see if I could find a good one so that I could have this awesome Canadian vampire theme.
Interesting.
Way more come up than you'd think. Oh. But I settled with this one, Kicking Blood.
Kicking
Yes, sir. Kicking Blood. 2021's Kicking Blood.
All right.
I watched this also on the 10th of August.
Okay.
2023. It's an hour 20. It is fantasy. Directed by Blaine Thurier.
Okay.
Starring Elena Bale, Luke Bylick, Benjamin Sutherland.
Okay.
IMDb movie summary. When Anna, a centuries-old vampire, watches Robbie, a charming but reckless young man, recover from his alcoholism, she decides to quit blood and restore her humanity.
Interesting. Okay.
So, yeah, she's, you know, it's a lot of, like, sexy people that are vampires, but, sure. Like, not, like, too offensively, but
like
they
Canadian
are.
Canadian sexy.
Like, Canadian sexy. Canadian where it's sexy. Just like, you know.
There's the title for this episode.
Well, you know, Canadian sexy.
Canadian sexy.
Get in the back of the Dracula or Canadian sexy. damn it. All right, well.
There you go. This is how the titling works, by the way.
It absolutely is. It's whatever makes me chuckle as I'm.
And then I always read it. I'm just like, that's what he went for.
You half the time you probably don't even remember, and you're like, who said that nonsense?
Yep.
Oh man, yes. Sometimes there's so much. Yeah. But this movie is about, she works like at a library, and she's just like real low key. You wouldn't know she was a vampire. And it's just typical vampire fare where she's just like, oh, I need to feed. I eat a dude who kind of sucks, kind of thing.
So confirmed, Canadian sexy is librarian.
Librarian, yes. No Canadian tuxedo, also, so it's a little risque for Canadian.
Ooh,
right. And so she sees this guy and she's about to murk him because he's like drunk in an alley. And he's like, whatever, I don't care. And he just basically, she's like mystified by him because he just doesn't give a shit. He's like pretty much at wit's end as it is with everything going wrong in his life. And she's just like fascinated by him for whatever reason. So she keeps him around. And it's not even like, let's bang or something. It's like, no, you can just hang here, whatever. And like, she's just so stuck on him and all her other friends, which are bizarre looking vampire people as well.
Okay.
They're just like, hey, what are you doing? We went out and we always go out as a pack for safety reasons. And, you know, we eat.
Safety reasons?
Safety reasons. They're safe Canadian vampires, okay?
These vampires are so unbelievably Canadian.
They're so Canadian. Sorry, Canada. But
we mean that in the best way.
We do. Trust me, I love Canada.
Yeah.
I got a hockey jersey on.
Hey.
But this is just, you know. It's not very good. It's very simple. It feels like somebody grabbed like a CW recycled drama plot and just said, I don't know, vampire it up a little.
We're in Canada. Make it nice.
Right. It's just not good. There's not a lot of threats. There's not a lot of fear. There's not a lot of fun.
Dare I say, not a lot of stakes.
Oh.
Oh,
yeah.
Got there.
Yeah. Well, really, that's the best way to end this review. I think I told you everything you gotta know.
That's right.
It's not great. Don't do it. IMDb, 4.4. The critics, 27 probably Canadian critics, 74%.
Oh, eh?
Less than 50 of the audience, though, gave it 54%.
It's a fake 54.
That's right. And my wife almost made it through this movie. Almost, but she got sleepy and gave up.
Okay.
I gave it a 5 out of 10.
Phew, yeah, we're on the ho-hum train.
It's a movie in focus that does what it says it's going to do. It's just not doing anything I care about at all. But hey, my theme was Canadian vampires.
I appreciate
how fun is that?
Yeah, that is awesome. You made it through the second movie only to complete the theme. So
honestly, yes.
Tim Irwin, Canadian sexy.